All right, good evening. Let us turn our Bibles to Psalm 101. Psalm 101, a psalm of David. Verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and they may dwell with me. He that walketh in the perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would grant us understanding, grant us a heart to know what your heart is, that you are a righteous God, and that you demand righteousness and holiness in us. We thank you for Christ, who has died to achieve that. And for us as believers, we press on to be more like Jesus in all of his holiness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have been, on Sunday taking a look at the Westminster Confession on a very, awkward chapter, on oaths and vows, and I've explained why it's there, right? It's something historical. And, if we have learned anything, I'm sure we've learned that we don't make vows hastily. We should make vows, but we don't make them hastily. And when we make them, we must be careful, to keep the vows that we make. James says, swear not, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Now, here James was, of course, speaking against empty vows. The Jews would swear against this, swear against that. They knew that they wouldn't swear against the name of God because then they would have to keep it. So they made a lot of empty vows. But vowing is good, serious vows. Vows according to the word, vows that are, able to be accomplished, etc. And we see that David in Psalm 101, of course we assume it's David, right, here he is making resolutions. He's making vows. Now, many scholars here believe that this psalm was used by kings in their coronation. So on their coronation day, these were the vows that they made, and yearly they would also make these vows. So in this psalm, you see a total of 15 resolutions. I will, I will not, I will not. Now, they can all be summarized into three areas. And these are vows that all of us should be making. It's not, don't get me wrong. Making vows is a serious thing. And so people say, I won't vow to the Lord then. I won't vow to be holy. You can't. It's part of our Christian vow. When we follow Christ, we have already vowed to follow him, to be holy. So here, there are three areas that he vowed, he made resolutions in. And firstly, David vowed to be holy in his personal life. And secondly, he vowed to be upright in his, you could say, social life and, you know, relationship with other people. And thirdly, that he would be accountable. He was a king. He promoted holiness in civil life because he was a ruler. So firstly, we want to take a look at some of these things. Firstly, we need to have a resolution to be holy in our personal life. Now, we see this in verses 1 to 4. Now, how can we be holy in our personal lives? And we see here in these verses there are three ways that we should be focusing on. All right? Now, firstly, it tells us that in order to live a holy life, you need to be resolved to live a holy life. You know, can we Christians not be resolved to live a holy life? All the time. That's why we always sing to remind ourselves, right? I am resolved no longer to linger. Right? Because very frequently, we don't resolve in our hearts to live holy lives. We say, I come to church, I play church, I do this in church, I look respectable. But then we don't do anything to progress in our personal lives, right? Of course, the chief one to blame is the pastor, right? Always, you know, preach the word, talk about the Bible, you know, and pastors struggle all the time to maintain that personal walk. Now, here, he resolved to live a devoted life. And we see in verse 1 that he purposed to sing of God's mercy and justice. He purposed to meditate on God's character. Of your mercy and justice will I sing. Now, why mercy? Why justice? Why? Well, because these two characteristics help us to live a more devoted, help us to live a more obedient life. Why? When we think of God's mercy, how good he is, how forgiving he is, what is the tendency of our heart to respond? How do we respond? We respond in repentance. That's what Romans 2:4 says. It is the goodness, the mercy, the kindness of God that leadeth us to repentance. So if we focus on mercy, it leads us to repentance. How about justice? Well, when we think of God's justice, how holy, how righteous, how exact he is when it comes to his commandments, you know, we also can't help but think of how God poured out his wrath on Christ. So if we think of God's justice, we as Christians will be careful also to walk justly because God is just. He is holy. You know, God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You know, folks, the Ten Commandments is not just something we hang on the walls. It's not something we give lip service to. We must obey. Not for salvation, but because Christ embodies the commandments. We love man, we love God. The first four commandments, the last six commandments. And here, God is just. He's holy. So because we've been shown mercy, to live an obedient and pleasing life to God. So that's the first thing. We focus on justice and mercy. The second way that David resolved to live a holy life, right, in his private life, was to walk perfectly. Now David had standards, okay? He says in verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Okay? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. So, you know, he resolved to have these standards. He resolved to walk wisely. Now, to walk wisely, we must walk circumspectly. Let's take a look at Ephesians 5:15. Ephesians 5:15. Now, of course, it's very easy to say, yes, I will obey. But in order to obey, what must you do? You must apply yourself to wisdom. You must apply yourself to wisdom. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So David said, I will behave myself in a perfect way, it wisely. So to be wise, we must walk circumspectly, to be careful, to watch what is sin, what is not sin, to be careful in obedience. Now, after Moses gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments, he also gave a piece of advice. Let's take a look at Exodus 23:13. Right here, after he gave the Ten Commandments, he says, and in all things that I have said unto you, be what? Circumspect. Yeah, we can say, I believe in the Ten Commandments, but we need to be wise to do them, and that takes circumspection, to be sure that we're doing it. Now, thirdly, to be holy, personally holy, we must shun evil. Now, David would never say, what I do in my house is my own business. Okay? This is my family, my house, none of your business. You know, baloney. He would never have said that. What we do anywhere matters to God. You know, we of course don't want to portray something on Sunday and something on other days. Now, here it says in verse 3, after he says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Now, the word wicked here is literally the word Belial. Right? You guys familiar with the word Belial? It means worthless. Right? That's the word that is used in, 2 Corinthians 6, right? Christ and Belial. So it represents things which are worthless. You know, there are a lot of things that we can practice at home that's quite vile. I like to watch TV once in a while. Do you? Yes, right? Oh, the good BP can't say that. Cannot. What? Right? No, you know, we do. Do we like to read magazines and listen to music once in a while? But what are we watching? Right? What do we watch? What do we download to watch? Right? I mean, things which can be at times empty, worthless, vile. Right? So like the psalmist, we determine, I will not know wickedness. So we ask, how holy are we in our personal lives? And that starts really with a knowledge of how just God is, how righteous He is. Okay? Now secondly, we need to be upright in our social lives. We see this in verses 5 to 7. Now David here, he's speaking concerning his house. Right? Verse 7 says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. Now what was his house? His house was his palace, right? His castle, his reign, his city, right? He was the governor there, but especially in his house, in his sphere of influence. So here we see three things that David, or the psalmist, would do, right, in his sphere of influence, in his social circle. He would, firstly, silence those who slander his neighbor. Secondly, he would not tolerate an arrogant person. Thirdly, he would associate himself with the faithful. So what this means is that everything that seems to imply here is that David wants to be upright. He wants to have integrity. Wherever we are in the world, we have to be salt and light. You know, we can be holy and private. Holy moly and private. But when it comes to other people, in our sphere of influence, you know, would we tell someone, hey, be holy? It's not Australian. You don't say that. Your religion's private, right? You know, we don't wear our religion on our sleeves. We need to be polite to others. But how are you salt and light if you are afraid to open your mouth? Okay? So While we work on personal holiness, we must promote integrity. So is there integrity in the home, in your business, in the church? Do we find ourselves being sucked into vileness, right, rather than changing it? And the manner in which we are to demand integrity, right, David says in verses 5 to 7, and this seems quite harsh. You know, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. And then in verse 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. So each of us need to be busy in removing evil in the sphere for which we are responsible. Okay? But, you know, when we are personally holy, it gives us power to be socially accountable. Now, of course, if we're not holy, what's the first thing that comes into my mind? I'm a hypocrite. How can I tell this person what I don't do? Right? Or because we have not been practicing holiness, we become afraid. Because with holiness comes moral courage. Okay? With holiness comes moral courage. Now, thirdly, we need to be accountable in our civil life. Now, this is something that, you know, maybe we are, maybe not so comfortable doing. Okay, those of us who are from, or previously from Singapore, good citizens, listen to the government, right? Except those of you who emigrated, right? Right? You know, so there's this aspect, right? Now, verse 8 is from the perspective of a king, of a ruler. What did David as a king say? I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, of course, we are not in civil government. Are any governors here? We, you know, someone's going to work for government soon, right? But, you know, so we have no authority there, but we have a voice of appeal. You know, the citizens of this country are able to speak out. Okay? We can promote decency. Now, God has ordained governments to carry out His will in punishing evildoers, keeping good order. You know, He uses the government to restrain licentiousness. He uses the government to restrain wicked, to protect what is good. So we are living in a nation that allows for its citizens to speak up, but we're also living in a nation that is increasingly more and more opening its doors to evil. It's true. You know, you might ask yourself, when's gay marriage going to happen? You know, a lot of people are saying, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when it does happen, how are we going to speak out? You know, of course, I'm not a citizen. Can I speak out? I don't know. But those of you who are, what do you do? Right? In Germany, when the Nazis, when the Third Reich was in power, the state churches, a lot of them capitulated, and you had a lot of the pastors who did not agree with the Nazi policies, and of course they were persecuted. But the state church generally all agreed. Now, what about the independent churches? You had some missionaries who had gone over throughout the years, and they had set up independent churches. You know, you had the Baptist church, you had the Methodist church, and what was very unfortunate is the Nazi government allowed the Baptist churches to continue. They didn't disturb. And that was more, important to the Baptist church that they were allowed freedom to worship. But they did not dare to speak out. They did not function. You know, the Christians did not function as, you know, the nation's morality. And very frequently that's what we are, right? Oh, Christ is coming. church, Bible conference, you know, revivals. But we're called also to be salt and light. The church may not be called to social action, but Christians certainly are. So, how holy are we? How much integrity do we have in our personal lives? That will trickle to our social lives. So how you conduct yourself in business, you know, in the world, that does matter. It really does matter. How you conduct yourself in the church, right? How you conduct yourself as a citizen. And here David had these resolutions. You can be sure, of course, if Christians stand against, you know, various policies, you know, we will be persecuted, right? We're quite comfortable now, aren't we? You know, there's a story of a rabbi who was renowned for his wisdom and his piety. And one day, one of his young disciples came to him and, you know, with a, you know, feeling of exuberance said to the rabbi, "Rabbi, I love you." The rabbi looked up from the book that he was reading and he asked the young man, "But do you know what hurts me, my son?" And the young man was really perplexed, and he stood in silence for a few moments, and then he burst out again and he said, "Rabbi, I don't understand your question. I'm trying to tell you how much I love you, and you ask me this irrelevant question." And then the rabbi replied, "My question to you is neither confusing nor irrelevant. For if you do not know what hurts me, how can you truly love me?" We say we love God. We come to church. There's so many things that we do. But we all know, right, that there are issues in our personal life, in our social life, and not, you know, social as in, you know, our secular lives, and as citizens, you know, that are probably not right. How does the Lord want us to live? Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the resolutions found here. And we know indeed that these are also the resolutions of the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked perfectly, who cleansed the temple of evil. And he who rules the church spiritually will one day conquer all nations. And so we pray, Lord, that as his people, we would be like him, obedient, filled with integrity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.